up, hobby friends, and welcome back to Paint Bravely, the podcast where you can find a little bit of encouragement, discover new ways to make your hobby more fun, and most importantly, learn to paint bravely. All right, we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about today. I bought some stuff on Facebook. Brent's visiting Warhammer stores and painting up models and stuff, but we're gonna get into all that stuff. But before that, Brent, what have you been up to the last couple weeks?
No, Casey, I got to start with plugs before I forget them. We're doing plugs. I'm going to conventions this year. We're deep into spring. Summer is coming up. It's going to be here before we know it. But we've got the Huzzah Convention in Portland, May 17th to 19th. We've got Iron Weld in Boston, June 1 and 2. And Too Many Games in Philadelphia, June 28th and 30th. I'm like a touring musician, except instead of music, I sit in the paint and take corner and just kind of hang out there.
Just say hi.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm Brent.
I'm a regular peachy at LVO, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's cool. So you're going to all of them.
Going to all of them, man. My calendar is just filling up. I'm a regular social person getting out of the house and going to see people who paint miniatures in person. Real good, real good.
Nice. Well, speaking of that, I will be at SoonerCon in, I believe it's Oklahoma, the end of June, like the last weekend in June, start of July, teaching some classes. Unfortunately, I'll be missing RageCon in Nevada. Because it's at the exact same time.
Sounds like that might be the exact same time as Too Many Games in Philadelphia.
Pretty much.
Which is at the same time as PortCon in Portland, Maine.
There's a lot of conventions.
June 28th on your side. To 30th. Very busy for nerd conventions. You just got to find the right one for you.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot on not this side of the country where I'm on. Like, we really don't have a lot. Like, LVO is, like, the biggest thing because it's like, oh, there's a thing. There's a thing happening here, you know? So, that's cool, though. A lot of good conventions.
Yeah. So, I'm sure there's something local to all you nerds out there. You just,
I hope so.
Load up your cat and your stroller and head on over to your local conventions and make an appearance. But anyway, that's it for plugs. We got to get on with the news here.
The news. There's a lot of news right now.
Look, we mentioned this briefly last time on Paint Brave, the podcast, but we are 2 weeks farther along in history, 2 weeks farther out from the eclipse, and we are now in week 3 of Nerds
Custodies
on the Internet.
Custodies Watch.
Yeah, Custodies Watch. Week 3 of Custodies Watch.
Yeah.
Now, if you're like not that, up on the news,
that's a long one.
Oh yeah. So rather than make the entire episode about this, I think we're just going to do a quick update every Paint Bravely. Every 2 weeks we'll check in on Custode's Watch and see if the nerds are still upset about cooties in my Warhammers.
Right.
So
has Henry Cavill finally spoken? We won't know until next week.
Is Henry Cavill afraid of women? We don't know. He's tight-lipped about the whole matter. Like, has Amazon and the DEI initiatives forced Henry Cavill into silence about whether or not he wants models of women miniatures in his custodies? We don't know.
But, I mean, I can take a real good guess, but we don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you're, the sort of person who makes videos about how Ariel, the Little Mermaid, never used to be black, you could get very upset about Lady Custodes on the Internet.
Even that, I think that's one of those things might be more, one of them is like, they're both made up things, right? They're both made up things. I don't know. It just seems like the Femstodes thing is like even lower on that list of like angry nerd people.
All right. Where are we going to put Black Hobbit? Black Hobbit? Where is Black Hobbit rank?
Honestly, I think that's probably the lowest on that list, but you know.
Black lady dwarf, above or below also, girls in my Warhammers. Yeah.
That's tougher. I don't know.
I don't even know if high or low. I don't know what high or low on a scale means. But I'll tell you one thing. I haven't heard Henry Cavill's opinion on any of this. And since we haven't heard his opinion, we are free to make up his opinion and just write very long 4chan posts about it. Like
Exactly.
We're completely free to assume Henry Cavill is entirely behind our extreme belief systems.
Yeah.
So. Well, that was Custodes Watch. News, I've been interested in Custodes lately, so I bought some models and I've been painting them up. Yeah.
So you got out, and because they're all sold out online. So where'd you get them?
Oh, I went to my local Warhammer store. There's a sad little strip mall, and right in between the Panera and the recreational weed vendor is a Warhammer store. And it's just a tiny little all Warhammer stores are.
It's actually very not far from what mine is either.
Every time it's like high school girls like running into Panera and me just like casually wandering into the Warhammer store.
Yeah.
As it was intended to be. And, I go in there and the little bell rings, ding, 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 ring, ding. And, hey, how you doing? What can I help you with today?
What are you painting this week?
Yeah, what are you painting this week? And, I'm going to start with my ignorance. I have forgotten the name of my friendly Warhammer employee.
See, that's where it's going wrong for you, I think.
Yeah. It's karma. It's karma. But
right, you're just not remembering his name. So I asked him
his name once a couple of years ago, and I have no memory of what he said. My brain has constructed the name Kyle for the man.
That's probably right.
He's the most Kyle coded man I've ever seen in my life.
It could be a Josh. I mean,
could be a Josh. I wouldn't put Evan past him, but
that's a deeper cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Ethan, but
yeah.
My heart says Kyle.
Kyle. Kyle's good. I believe it.
Anyway, it's like coming home again, because you just come in there, hey, what you painting? And just not a hint of recognition, just complete face blindness. But a super nice guy who runs a really clean shop, and if they send him the proper supplies, has those supplies to sell to you. So I bought a couple of boxes of Custodes. I saved my receipt because I am definitely writing off spending $120 on 10 models.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're thicker models, aren't they? I mean, like, I don't actually own any. Are they like Stormcast, like OG Stormcast size, or are they like
ish? Yeah, actually,
okay.
They have a lot of similarities to OG Stormcast. Actually, yeah.
All right. I mean, I kind of I could see it. I mean, it's not
that's
cheap.
The thing, man. We just
I know
that boiling frog just at the point where you can convince yourself, $12 for. For a model, like, I'm gonna spend a couple hours painting that. What else do I spend $12 on? A burrito? I mean, that's burrito it's prices burritos, these days.
Yeah.
It depends on the burrito.
It's true. A good $5 burrito is this a beefy burrito or a porky or chickeny burrito?
No, we don't live in that world anymore, Casey.
I still feel like we do. Like a $5 footlong is still real, but I know it's not. I've been there. It's not. They told me it's not.
No, it's a $10 foot long, and they ask for tips at Subway now. That's how that works.
Yeah, they do.
This is what Paint Bravely has devolved into. It's complaining about the modern world in which we live, but we don't venture out into because we hate it now.
$5 foot longs anymore. What happened to us? What happened, Brett?
What happened indeed? Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Where were we?
Custodians are thick.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cost $60 for 5 models. And mm-hmm. I put some together, and they've got each of those boxes. I got like Custodian Wardens and Custodian Guard, I think. That sounds okay. Right. Go with that. Wardens and Guard, maybe. And yeah, each kit had 2 weapon options. One was either big axes or big spears. One was either big spears or swords. Cool.
Yeah.
Please type in the comments exactly what those weapon option names are.
Yeah.
Because the big spears also had bolters attached to them. So.
Oh, right. Okay, I remember those.
Bolter glaives? I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Emperors, Blade. Cleansors, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the kits had weapon options. They didn't have much in the way of head options, and that's where we're getting to. But
Yeah.
Each of those kits had, I think, 5 helmets for the 5 bodies and 2 unhelmeted just dudes that looked very much like just a Space Marine head.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But of course, the thing that made me interested in Custodes in the first place is like, yeah, female Custodes are part of the lore now, and hey, let's mm-hmm. let's pop some lady heads on there and see what the models look like. Lila just released a video.
I was gonna say, yeah, she jumped on that. She jumped so fast,
yeah, and she did a full conversion. Like she took part of a Stormcast, part of a Custodian kit, did a very comprehensive kit bash to make a nice looking model. Put that together with an outstanding paint job. Go check out Lila Mev's channel and that video in particular, because she could probably use a few friendly comments on that one. Or, a lot of people who feel like Henry Cavill is beyond, you know, backing up their strange belief systems are leaving some very angry comments on an incredible artist's video. So, go check out Lila Mev. Anyway, she did a full conversion, but I think it actually works okay just doing a head swap.
I mean, yeah, because the armor's so bulky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The armor's very thick, and, like, I don't think you're seeing a lot of secondary sexual characteristics, male or female, through all that, so.
You know, big golden armor.
And so, I don't have very many female heads, because Games Workshop does not sell very many female heads, and the ones I have used already, but a year or two ago, I did back a Kickstarter from Keta Minis. That's just a 3D printing head collection. And I finally have an opportunity to use that. So I got my my Keta Minis all loaded up. And I also tried printing some Victoria Miniatures heads, but I ended up printing those in the wrong size. So I will use those later.
Just big head mode, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, I was printing some heads in different sizes, and Custodians are larger than regular humans, and so it was a little bit of a trick to find the right scale. I printed 100% size, 120, 125, 140, and it ended up being 120% was the scaling factor. But
nice.
Yeah, some of the heads looked very silly, like tiny little heads in the big power armor. And then the ones at 140%, wow, that scales fast because those look way too big. But yeah, 120% looks good. And that Kickstarter pack of heads had a really big variety. The Custodian body has like an armored collar that raises up like around the neck joint. And so any big ponytails or big buns or, you know, any really long hair wouldn't work, but there were still plenty of good options in there so that I was able to, just pop a head swap on and get some models that actually look pretty dang good that I'm pretty happy with. And so been painting those, been experimenting with gold, been experimenting with other colors. And yeah, for fun, I did one model, just like a regular custodian. I never painted a regular custodian before. I found it to be boring. Like, it's just...
It's a lot of gold.
I just sprayed it all gold, made a couple of things red, and did a couple of gems, and I don't know. I don't even have the heart to, like, put a wash on now. It's just, like, it's not...
You're like, it's fine, I guess.
I see that the ceiling for this miniature is pretty low, so,
It's an interesting army in general that has looked the same the whole time it's been out and has needed a shakeup for a long time. So, like, introducing more bear heads, probably slightly less armor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible that they cut the Stormcast line so they could be like, well, maybe we can borrow a little bit of that, throw that toward Custodes, switch it up a little bit. Because they're not far off, right? They're not that different. It's a lot of gold, and it's not broken up by a lot of things. Like,
I mean, there's
you
a
don't
ton
see it
of,
done very well
yeah,
too
it's,
often.
It's filigree on top of filigree on that armor, and it works if just everything is a shade of gold, and, like, you can do a dry brush to put a little bit of, like, silvery highlights on there. You could certainly add a wash. Like, I think they'd look good with an oil wash, and I'll...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll do that to say I've done it, but the helmet design is not one that I really like. I like the helmet plume. They've got like horsehair plume coming out on the top of the helmets, but the rest of the helmet design I really don't like. And, you know, I think I've seen more Custodes armies converted or proxied than like anything else. We were at Adepticon and ran into Tyler from Billion Dollar Clown Farm, and of course he was there.
His new video today it was ridiculous.
Was it?
Yes.
I mean, they all are. They all are. Yeah. After you watch Lila Mev's video, go watch go watch Billion Dollar Clown Farm. It's got.
It's
be
like
done.
45 minutes long, and he, I mean, I assume legitimately, took. And ate shrooms while painting goblins. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah.
He's an entertainer.
YouTube video.
He's a born entertainer. Yeah.
Born entertainer. The best of us.
The man loves goblins. The man loves orcs. And at Adepticon, he was playing a Custodes rule set, but it was all orcs. It was like orcs in golden armor.
Nice.
The Orc Stodies or something like that.
Yeah.
I've also seen, multiple people do like beach party Custodes where they've like heavily converted.
Right, right. Yeah. There's those drawings and such.
Well, that's kind of a whole, that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Is that, that's what I've seen. I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Ides of March tournament. I met a guy who had hand converted their Custodes army, and like they, you know, instead of a jet bike or whatever, it was a hot dog stand. It was like a little beach umbrella and everything. I mean, it was still on a sweet jet bike, but like,
right.
I feel like
selling hot dogs.
Yeah. And no shade to anyone who has a lovely golden Custodes army out there, but it seems like there's something a little bit missing. Like, it needs a little bit of spice. And head swaps actually do go a lot of the way. Also, just trying paint schemes other than pure gold go a long way.
Right.
So I got started by base coating my minis with a bunch of different colors. You know, I started teal and green and blue and red. And then, you know, still got to have gold, so I put a lot of gold filigree all over everything. But starting out with a different base color makes the army tolerable, I think, or makes the, for me who likes colors, makes it a much more enjoyable experience. You know, also putting on like a human heads, it gives it more interest, more character.
Oh, yeah.
So that is what I've been up to. Something I've come around to in this painting is getting back to the Speed Paint Metallics. For the gold, I was using, I think it's glittering gold from the Speed Paint Metal line.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first tried the Speed Paint Metals, I didn't understand the point of them because they don't act like, you know, speed paints or contrast paints or anything. They're thin metallic paints. And yeah, I really dismissed them when I was first playing around. Like, what is this? It's just a thin metal. Like, it's not in any way behaving like the rest of the speed paint line. What is this? And then, you know, my opinion started to change when Vince Venturella did a video about them.
Yeah.
And basically said they're one of his favorite metallic paints and said that they behave in some ways kind of like the Vallejo metallics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. It's just a very thin metallic paint. Uses aluminum for the shinies. You got to be careful of it running around too much. It's decently opaque, certainly way more opaque than anything else in the speed paint line. And so I was using the kind of a runny gold from the speed paint line to do all the filigree on these custodians, and it's working. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm in a similar boat. Like when I first tried the speed paints and I got to the metallics, I was like, oh yeah, this isn't what I thought it was. And I haven't used them since. And I definitely did watch Vince's video about it, and I've been kind of meaning to try them again. But I also have the Vallejo metallic colors, and it's like, well, I already know these are really good, you know? So it's hard for me to want to, you know, convert from those paints. Although there isn't a lot of variety for gold, especially.
Exactly. Yeah, so I can like see 10 why. Different shades of silver. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Vallejo is strange. They have silver, chrome, platinum, white aluminum, regular aluminum, like the number of names for bright silver.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Well, and the actual spread on those is insane. Like it goes to almost black, like shiny black, all the way up to aluminum and chrome.
Yeah. Like I feel like they have a lot of concentration at the bright end of that spectrum, but
fair enough. Yeah. No, there really is. But I mean, it makes sense. You know, you look at Vallejo's airbrush colors that aren't those, and they work very similarly. Like some of my favorite metallics are airbrush metallics besides the Vallejo metal colors. Even Army Painter had, well, I don't know if they had air. I think they have air metallics. I'm pretty sure.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they do. I literally own them. And they work similarly to that too. I think they're more on the air side of things. They're thinner and, the speed paints seem kind of goopier.
You think so? Well, I probably
feel like
probably more so than the airbrush paints. Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah.
So this is like a weird in between.
Yeah. Yeah. With metals, I feel like there's a hard choice between if you're painting metals very runny or if you're painting metals like borderline too thick.
Right, yeah. Like hoping it'll dry properly.
Yeah, like exactly. Like if you got a big sword, you with big sword or like a big axe with a big flat area, you kind of have a choice of like if you want a smooth coat of metal on there, do you like dry brush a thick metal or do you put on a super runny metal? And I don't know. I'm getting a little more into the mood for runny metals for that sort of thing. But for rivets or little bolts and some of the really fine filigree, I think that's the time you get out your thick metallics here.
That does make sense. When you need more control, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, because like for a thin coat all over, I would probably, like for custodies, right? Since we're on the topic.
Sure.
I would probably use the Vallejo metal color gold, even though it's like really green. Mm. Like it's really green gold. But like, you know, it just like covers everything so well. But I could see that for for some of the tighter details if you wanted to go over those and maybe warm them up, because that speed paint one is definitely more red. It would probably look pretty good too. Yeah. Actually,
well, I mean, the speed paint's definitely one of the thin ones. Like I'm
is kind that of, one thin? Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm counting the speed paint in the thin category of like airbrushes with no modifications required. In fact, that's what I did to start off some of my gold minis. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, airbrushed the speed paint through.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But I'm thinking like a pot of Balthazar gold or something like that, like some thick metallic.
Dried out. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, there's I know the standard metallic paints on the market yeah. are like pretty thick.
They're thick. And, yeah.
Man, I had so many experiences of just trying to like brush on one of those thicker metallic paints and just having it dry super weird and gloopy. And
yeah,
I think I'm finally beyond that. Like if it's a thick paint, you need to just dry brush on a thin little layer and, or yeah. swap to a thin paint. But yeah, for like a rivet or something like that, I think going with the thicker paint for more control makes sense. And, yeah. I don't know. We're learning. We're learning.
Right. We're painting bravely.
That's right. Part. That's what we do here.
We gotta do
among
it.
Other things.
We do that sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just occasionally.
And I got one more thing to say about gold over here, Casey. Speaking of paint bravely, and we're gonna swap over from saying nice things about Vince to saying nice things about Jim Wobble. And I learned from Jim Wobble that if you're painting gold, one of the fun ways to add a little spice to that is putting a very thin layer of green here and there and very thin deposits of purple here and there on gold.
Yes.
It works. It gives it a little bit of a patina. And I don't understand why green and purple look sweet on gold, but they do.
Somebody told me once.
Yeah?
It is an actual patina, and yeah. I don't remember what it's called. It has a name.
Okay.
But I don't know what it's called. I also have learned this technique, but I learned it in a like painting metals class with Caleb Wisenbach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. Learned it from James Wobble, but you know,
I have to ask Caleb about that one. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that was a situation where I put just a little bit of green speed paint in my airbrush.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little bit of squirty, then a little bit of purple speed paint in my airbrush. Squirt. Mm-hmm. And it looks like gold. That's one of those things you got to have a real light touch. And I thought I had a light touch, and I still probably went a little bit too heavy. But if you have a real light touch, just adds just a little bit of realism that you didn't know you needed on there. But it's a fun little touch.
Yeah.
Purple and green.
You can't go too heavy with the thumbs, you know, on the airbrush there.
Yeah, there's not as many knuckles in the thumbs. You don't got as much control. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a little too heavy-handed. All thumbs, as they say.
As they say, yeah. Only thumbs. Only thumbs. But, yeah, if you just put a little bit, and I'm sure there's a whole theory about where to put each color. I tended to put a little more purple in the shadows just because purple is a good shadow color in general. And so then just the remaining areas was more likely to get a little spot of green. But
yeah, I think that's usually how I do it. It's like purple in the shadows, green in the highlights, and some kind of environmental reflection at the same time as being an actual kind of patina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I'm up to. Painting gold.
Not bad. Yeah.
Maybe that's our title. Painting gold and waiting for Henry Cavill to tell us if he likes girls or not. That's where we're at these days. Hey, tune back in 2 weeks from now, and maybe we'll have an update on this situation.
Yeah, you know, okay. We better not. Like, I don't want to have an update. It's too stupid. It should just be over. It should just, nobody should, okay. Anyways.
Look, I, fingers crossed that Disney casts a person of color in like a children's movie coming up or something so that these people could just move on to the next thing. Like, go harass a different group of people. Like, just move on. Like,
I think what happened is Fallout was too good.
Oh, they That's were planning. They were complaining. Yeah, they were planning on complaining about Fallout for a month. That's right.
But it was too good,
and they had to find something else.
Yes.
Yep.
It is good.
That's probably true. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I saw a few YouTube thumbnails like Fallout woke ? Female main character like, but like they couldn't get too into it because like it was a pretty good show. I've only seen the first two episodes. The first two episodes were good. I haven't, you know,
it's
kept going yet.
Continues to be good. Fantastic. There's only like 8 episodes, so it's like a really long, good movie.
Okay. I'll get there.
So yeah, it's good. If you like Fallout, then it's good. Apparently, if you don't like Fallout too, you don't know anything about it, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely see that. Man, speaking of that, I've only ever played, I'm pretty sure, Fallout 3 and 4, I picked the female protagonist. Both, yeah, pretty sure. So, seemed all right to me.
I got to admit, I've only played the first couple hours of Fallout 3, I think.
It's good. It's good.
I got to the supermarket and really not much past it. I know you're all going to make fun of me, but I assure you I played a lot of hours of Morrowind, so I've got my Bethesda cred in there somewhere. Yeah. And we got another update for you. We did check with Scott the Miniature Maniac, if you will. Last week we had come to the conclusion that the movie that Scott the movie Scott was most likely to have actually seen and not be like, what's that? I've never heard of that before. Is that one good? We thought he would have seen Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
And we were wrong. He never heard of it.
You were completely wrong. Like, oh, okay. We're completely off base here. We have no idea what we're talking about. I totally forgot about that. Oh, so good.
It's and I haven't seen that movie for a while, but I remember it. It had its moments.
I mean, yeah, it's been. Yeah. I don't know. When did it come out? Like 2005.
2007.
So okay, whatever. Close enough. A really long time ago. Yeah, it's probably last time I saw it. Yeah.
You never throw a bong, dude. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Rob Schneider was in it. Like
all the people.
The people except for Adam Sandler from Adam Sandler movies. Yep.
He may have produced it.
Yeah, pretty sure.
So he was probably there. He just was like, I'm not doing this one, guys. Like, I can't.
All right, enough stalling. What have you been up to, Casey?
I've been doing a good amount of stuff. I wanted to start with, I guess, some more of a downer story. It was good, but it was kind of a downer. Well, first of all, I've been sick, so I apologize for the extra noises. Just getting over some kind of flu. Sucks. Kids in daycare, you know. So yeah, I was perusing Facebook. I tend to go in the marketplace, look for the notifications, all that thing. You never know. A Warhammer listing popped up, and it was like pictures of army cases, like older army cases, which usually means there's an older army in the case, right? And it was a listing for $100. And so I immediately contacted the seller, and I'm like, I will be over whenever you will allow me to be over, and I will buy this from you. Turns out it was a lady like not that far away from me, like down the street, which is weirdly the second time on Facebook that I've bought something like Warhammer related and it's been in my neighborhood. I feel like I'm missing all these people that are into Warhammer that are around me, and we just never see each other. It's a weird thing. But yeah, so I go over to this person's house. I go inside and she's showing me all this stuff, and I ended up buying it, and it's a massive army box. It didn't have an army in it entirely. It had like a battalion, like an old Warhammer Fantasy box, like a starter box for wood elves. Had a bunch of Harlequin stuff, like 8 different codexes, like older codexes, including the old Wood Elves codex from probably like 4th or 5th edition. It's pretty sweet. It's like some really cool stuff in there. Unfortunately, though, when I was talking to the lady about the stuff, she told me that it was her son's and they're moving, so they were trying to get rid of all this extra stuff that they couldn't take with them. And he had died like 10 years ago. And we were basically like the same age, or we would have, you know, would have been. Ooh. Right. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer. And she was getting sad and kind of teary eyed, and it sucked. I mean, it's not great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I told her, obviously, what I was going to do with the models. It wasn't like they were just going to sit around. So that's what I've been mostly working on this week, too, is trying to take all of these models and actually do something with them, because it was something that he really liked to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I want to do my part, I guess.
No, that's fair. How much paint was on the wood elves?
They were all primed on the sprue.
Interesting.
And a handful of them were painted like some base coats. Okay. So they were a little rough.
Was there anything that could be saved and preserved of what the original owner had, or no?
Not really. I mean, there is some stuff like the Harlequin stuff that I have. Like, he actually like clearly spent time and painted in the diamond pattern. Ooh. On a couple of them, and it actually looks really good. Okay. So I'm not going to paint over that
stuff. Yeah, save those. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to save the ones that he has, and then I'm going to try and finish the rest, which are all in parts and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Because he clipped everything off the sprues and put them in these neat little boxes. So they're all, you know, how back in 4th edition 40K, like you could, all the Eldar, Dark Eldar stuff, the Orcs, everything was multi-part, right? So you'd be like, well, this is the left arm box, this is the right arm box. Yeah. So it's like that. So there's just a bunch of that in these little like fishing tackle boxes, you know? But yeah, some of them are definitely painted pretty well. The wood elves, though, I think what ended up happening is he took all the stuff out, primed it, and it was like not a good prime job. Mm. There's like bubbles and thick primer in a bunch of areas, and all of the mold lines were still there. So I have spent the last like week clipping and scraping and sanding things down to try and make them decent.
Sounds like that might be a little alcohol bath involved too, you know.
I scraped the mold lines and I took care of pretty much all of the really bad stuff, and I did prime over a couple and they look pretty good.
Okay.
So I ended up just kind of brushing them off and priming up a bunch of them, and they look awesome primed. Like, it's like, okay, these look proper now. So I think they'll be all right. And I've been printing out a bunch of models too. I've been working with GK2 again, even though you know, probably 10 episodes ago things weren't going so well between me and Uniformation. But now we're good. We're good.
Wait, remind me, is this the people that told me that if I did not do an ad read for them, they would be fired or be demoted?
Yes. 100% yes.
Okay, it's coming back to me now.
Yes. Yeah.
I did not do an ad read for them. I don't possess a Uniformation printer, but
man.
Are they doing okay? How are they doing?
They seem like they're okay. Like my contact, Crush, is her name.
I wasn't gonna say the name, but yeah, I know Crush. I mean, yeah.
Come on. That's not a real person, okay? Or at least not the name. It's fine. Anyways, yeah, no, like they were upset last time because they, even though I told them like, hey, here's what I can do, I'll make this kind of video and whatever, and they sent me a printer and they were really happy and blah blah blah. Like they thought somehow it was going to be this other thing that I was going to do, even though like you read the emails and it's very clear like what I'm saying, and I think it's just a communication issue. And this time they were like, hey, we would like to work with you again, but not like last time. And I'm like, I agree. Do you understand that I'm going to make the same thing that I did last time? And they said, yes. So far they've been very happy. This is more of like a, which is kind of cool of a company to do it. They asked me just to give my opinions on after having used it for 6 months. They're like, just talk about it for 2 minutes. That's it. So very low expectation. They sent me a bunch of resin. And so I've just been printing an absolute crap ton of models. Mostly one page rules stuff, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I've also been printing Wood Elf stuff from like Titan Forge to supplement this Wood Elves army that I just got. It was a very long way to get back to that story. Yeah, so I've been building these Wood Elves. I've been printing a crap load of Wood Elves. And it's just been nonstop. So I have a boatload of really cool stuff, and I want to play the army as it is, as like an old world army. I don't even know if the old world uses Wood Elves technically. I don't know if they're part of it at all at this point.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. They might have like whatever legacy rules or something. Who knows?
Legends.
Yeah, there you go. Legends.
Could be. Yeah. So, you fast talked your way out of that encounter with the lady with her son's models. You got her paid.
Yeah.
Said you'd respect him, and then you got out of that awkward situation with quite the haul there, buddy.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not bad. Not bad. Like, I even got some of the nice like Citadel snow flocking.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't think they sell that stuff anymore. And it's like actually decent. Some of the better like fake snow that you can get. And I've had this little like tub of it for a while, and I've been trying to like slowly, you know, not use it all because I don't want to run out. And then here we go. I got a whole nother tub now. So
I'm
probably going to end up doing like a snowy theme on all these Wood Elves, because that was what he was doing originally. A lot of them had snow on their bases, so I'm gonna try and do something like that. I don't know what yet, because Wood Elves and snow, you know,
it'd work.
We'll see.
No, that could be fun. Get the seasons in there. I mean, it's gotta snow in, you know, Wood Elf land every once in a while, right? I don't know. You don't know.
I mean,
who's going to call you on it? Put the snow on there. Yeah.
I mean, nobody should. You never know. No, I know a lot of people have done like the seasonal thing with like Sylvaneth, which are,
of course,
you know, the newer iteration of Wood Elves. And most of those models are still from the Wood Elf army. Even the ones that they're using now are just carryovers from Warhammer Fantasy. In fact, they really haven't updated that army at all since then.
What, Sylvaneth?
Yeah, like Sylvaneth.
No, they
like
have
after
a lot of
the
cool, they've got
well, they
they've
do,
got
yeah.
mugs and stuff, and they've got trees, and no, they've got a lot of modern stuff. It's not just Wood Elves.
Oh, I know. I'm saying that like when the end times were happening for fantasy battles, right? Like they came out with all those kits.
Oh, that was then. Okay,
that was then. And then they're like, look, Age of Sigmar. And it's like the same army. But you can't use your actual Wood Elves anymore. It became tree people.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So that was kind of that whole thing.
In the realm of Haish. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Age of Sigmar 4th edition is coming up. And I still got to tell you, I still don't know what the 8 spheres of the realms of Sigmar are.
I don't either.
Dude, Whew. I could understand it when it was just like a garbled version of the world map. A garbled version of the world's map. But
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of wish they did that anyways, just kept that, because at least that is an understandable thing.
Yeah. Now I've got eight spheres maps to learn. I'm not going to learn eight spheres worth of maps.
Like this interdimensional.
The realm of fire? Is it all fire? Yeah.
Everything.
I feel like these are things I could learn, but I also feel like it's going to be another 9 years before I.
Then they're going to change it anyways.
Yeah. What's the point?
What's the point? Doesn't matter. No, if anything, any of those things, and how I've only ever seen them is an excuse to paint a model in a certain style. You're like, oh, well, those Sylvaneth are from this realm. So, of course, they're all on fire trees.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how cool they look. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty sweet. Like, I don't know if that's how that works, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Seems fine.
Yeah. Legends of the Painty Men. One of their best podcast episodes on Legends of the Painty Men was the two hosts trying to read to each other the descriptions of the realms of
oh no
Sigmar, and like just and there is like a role playing game for that setting,
but there is, yeah.
But can you imagine reading to somebody you are in the realm of shadows where all is dark and mysterious? Can well, we that's go? Your setting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that clear things up?
You know, just throw that out there, but it might be actually fun. We should get a hold of that rule book and just do a quick
Age of
20
Sigmar
minutes.
RPG?
Yeah. We'll just run you through a realm real quick. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'd be down. I'd be down. Like, it's easier to get me to play an RPG than it is to get me to play one of these freaking big games.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like a pretty fun thing to do.
Yeah, that's content.
I don't even know where to get
content.
That. Yeah, yep. We'll find it. I'll find that somewhere. We'll do it. We're talking about realms and one-page rules and all these things.
Okay. Well, how do you want to pivot this, Casey?
I don't know. I want to show you my big tree.
Cool. On that note, are we done here, Casey?
No, not even close. Come on. No, like I've been printing out these Titan Forge trees.
Yeah.
And they're really cool. Kind of Groot-ish, but they're still pretty cool.
Yes, big Groot.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. But there's this one I printed out. It's like a big tree. He's got a big staff with like a rock totem thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like got his little hand out. And there's like a little deer that came with the print. And he's like kind of poking out at the deer. And the deer's like sniffing his hand. It's really cool.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah.
I like a lot of Titan Forge
stuff. That's my Tree
Man
Ancient that I'm using for now.
That's cool.
The idea is to proxy everything for now with, like, you know, at least decent models, since I'm printing out everything. And then replace them with hopefully like wood elf stuff from the same era and complete an army for the old world or one page rules.
That's a fun project.
Yeah.
We have lots of fun project ideas. Let's see if let's see if you stick with it. Yeah.
I mean, at this point with proxies, I've got a full army. So
there you go. Done.
Yeah. That's a thing. I've done a thing. It's not painted, it's primed.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, on the OPR topic, they did their announcement for Worlds Beyond.
Yes.
And so we were muttering a little bit about this last time, but
we were like
one
4 weeks
rules,
ahead of schedule. Yeah,
ahead of schedule. One page rules, working with Titan Forge, working with Archvillain Games. Essentially, they have some sort of a crowdfunding project going right now to sell a bunch of STLs for the Worlds
it's
Beyond.
A boatload of armies, and it's already obviously funded. But yeah, it's like six or eight different full.
Depends how much you spend. Yeah, but
it's like $90, I think, for the minimum.
Sure.
It's not bad. It's about the price that any one of those companies charges for a single army.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like 8 of them. So it's yeah. I looked at it today because obviously, you know, the announcements were today.
Yeah. But the idea is that there's all these models from a bunch of different STL vendors, and they have rules in the one-page rule system, both for, you know, the sci-fi or the fantasy. There's rules in one-page rules, and that's really nice to have that unified, because for a couple of years there, it seemed like there were all these great STL sculptors and sellers and Patreons and, you know, subscriptions and all that. And for a while, a lot of them seemed like they were kind of trying to like independently cobble together a rule system or like a game for their minis. And best of luck to them, but the chance of any one of those actually being, you know, adopted is nothing. Vanishingly small. But if they're all working together and saying like, okay, fine, here's the one page rule system, you can proxy these minis in whatever game you want, or like, here's the one page rule system, which is, you know, explicitly written to include models from Titanforge, Archvillain games. Hold on, I've got the list.
You got the list. There's a list.
Dragon Trapper's Lodge, Dakadaka.store. Gamak, iDemo Games, Popsicles, and blue.art_miniatures. So I don't know much about them, but
I've heard of all of them except for that one.
Yeah, I feel like they could have, you know, workshopped their name a little bit, so it's not even BLUE, it's blue.art_miniatures. Am I pronouncing that right?
Blue Art Miniatures?
Blue.art_miniatures.
You just ignore the weird
Blue Art Miniatures. We had a lot of advertising here on Paint Bravery the podcast. That's the secret to like having a weird name.
I feel like we should look up their models so that we don't do them a disservice, but you know.
Maybe it's just like the most disgusting filth we've ever seen.
It's entirely possible. They just like got on the bandwagon like really quick.
Just full frontal demons. I don't know. What is it?
Actually, that's not far off.
Seriously?
Okay. No, I'm just kidding. They're definitely like, at least what I'm scrolling through right now on my mini factory, it's a lot of like gross looking demons. But they look cool. Like they look well done. So not like, you know, it's not that bad. Yeah. It's definitely like super grimdark though.
Okay.
It's very grimdark. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So tentacles everywhere.
So it seemed like the plan was for, you know, one page rules to kind of gradually expand out the number of other companies they're working with. And I don't know exactly what the procedure is for drafting up, you know, rules for Grimdark Future or whatever for these different vendors, but I don't know. It's cool to see it all under one umbrella. And so you can go to the One Page Rules website and, you know, you go to Grimdark Future and there's the army lists from OPR. But then there's a tab on the top of the screen, like the other creators tab. And then you can go over there and see the armies from these other creators. And that is cool. And like just gives, you know, OPR a little more momentum to actually be a thing enough people play so that it actually gets played, you know?
Well, I mean, in terms of looking for these wood elves, right? Knowing that this was already a thing, and then obviously seeing the announcement the same day that I'm printing out these models, it was like, well, okay, all of these Titanforge models that are wood elves are now fitting into my wood elf army. Like, I didn't have to go, okay, well, what maybe can I print that might match a profile? Like, I didn't have to think about it. And I already looked on One Page Rules earlier today, and it was like, well, here's everything in the army list for wood elves, and all of these models are included with the same names as the models.
Perfect. Perfect.
It's so good. It's so good. Like, I'm more excited about One Page Rules right now than AOS 4.0 by far.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really cool to see, you know, one page rules actually get some momentum. I see it in comment pages all over the place. Like, it used to be when people were mad at Games Workshop, it would be almost like throwing darts what they would say that they were going to go to, BattleTech or Conquest or whatever. But like these days, it's more and more often like, yeah, screw this, I'm going to go play one page rules. And
yeah,
it's just interesting to see a coalescence around kind of a single answer there. And that seems promising in that that game would actually have enough of a base to get played. So cool.
I mean, it makes sense, right? They started with the rule set and then they actually built very good miniatures to go with it.
Yep.
Like after establishing a rule set.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still think out of all the miniatures that I've printed ever, I like one page rules the best. Like I feel like they print the easiest. They're more like designed for being played in a game, like less breakable, I guess.
Okay.
And I like that.
Yeah. I've got some favorites from several different companies, but like, yeah, I've been happy with everything from One Page Rules.
Yeah.
What else, Casey?
I feel like we got there. It was good.
Yeah, we did.
That's what I was trying to. I was like, "This is a Titanforge mini."
Oh, you were setting me up for that.
I feel like five minutes.
Was.
Okay. I feel like
I thought your brain just got stuck just and me. You just kept talking about your tree. I'm sorry. I missed my cue.
I was really trying. Okay. Really, really trying.
You have pickleball written down. Is that important?
I did write that down. Yeah. I wrote that down because I've played a bunch of pickleball lately, and it's really fun. It's a really good game. That's not a miniature war game. That's an outside in the sun game.
I'm told this is like tennis, but smaller.
Yes. It's mini tennis. So it's like a miniatures game. It's like a one quarter tennis game with a wiffle ball and a carbon fiber, smacky board thing. Fantastic. It's like table tennis, but bigger. So it's not tennis, but it's not table tennis. It's in the middle.
Uh-huh. You've been playing style or 1v1 or?
Yeah, so two people on each side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it just happens like me and my wife just know a handful of people that like are really hardcore into it. And they've been talking about like, oh yeah, we're just going down to such and such park and they got these places. We're going to play some games and stuff. And like we finally went and it was like, oh, this is like for real. Like there's a bunch of people, like all these courts are taken with all these people just switching in and out, playing this fun game. And think of it like, the fraternity version of French Canadian badminton.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little preppy is what you're looking for. A
little bit. Like you go into Target and they have a pickleball section for clothes. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's a little weird, but it's a good game. It's fun. So I don't know. I've just been like really into that. Looking into doing like a weekly game at this point. Like there's a group that meets. So I don't know. Okay.
Games on the rise, pickleball, and one page rules.
Yes. I even downloaded a pickleball game for my VR.
Yeah.
It's a training practice game.
I hope that's working out for you. Yeah.
I haven't hit too many things so far.
It feels like that'd be pretty good for like Wii. We had tennis. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. Feels the same.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a better way to put it. It's like playing Wii tennis in real life. Pickleball. Like, it's not that skill intensive, but you can get pretty into it. Yeah.
Well, you learn something new every day. Thank you, Casey.
You got any more models you're painting?
No.
Okay, well, thank you again for joining us on another episode of Paint Bravely. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, subscribing to the YouTube channel, and sharing this message with your hobby friends. And as always, we appreciate each and every one of you for listening. We will talk to you next time.
Talk to you next time.